Are you sick of this system?
Yeah!
Are you sick of this system?
Yeah!
Je pense qu'il y a une chose est claire. Le communisme est là pour rester. Le communisme est de retour. Le Parti communiste révolutionnaire est arrivé.
My name is Kiam Bellum. I'm a full-time worker who has seen the conditions of capitalism get worse and worse for the working class every single year. They've seen homelessness creep into their family situations. They've seen workers lose their jobs. They're living paycheck to paycheck, right? But all of this anger has no voice. So I'm here protesting. I'm here making a big, bold statement that the Revolutionary Communist Party is here in order to organize these people. We think that there are communists in every neighborhood, in every city, in every country around the world, and we're ready to organize them.
Capitalism has reached its end. It is a dying system, and we can't keep reviving it. We need a system to fight for all the oppressed around the world. I could not find any other organization that had a good leadership, that had the right ideas, and I finally found it with the RCP.
What you are listening to right now are audio clips recorded from across the country at the launch rallies of the Revolutionary Communist Party held on April 6th. New layers of workers and youth who a few years ago had no interest in politics are now being dragged into militant activity by the atrocities produced by capitalism. And communists have an important place in this movement, because in treating a disease, it is not enough just to point our guns at symptoms. We must be able to dig beneath the surface and find the cause of the illness itself. And that cause is the system of exploitation, competition, and destruction that we live under today. So if you were or weren't able to make it out on April 6th, I'd encourage you to join the Revolutionary Communist Party to help us fight for a new society and to attend our Congress on May 18th to May 20th as a founding member. To help us build the revolutionary party that the working class deserves. I'll see you there, comrades.
RCP!
RCP! RCP!
Hello again, comrades, and welcome to this week's episode of the Revolutionary Communist Podcast. Last time, we met with Joel Bergman, a leading comrade in the Canadian section of the Revolutionary Communist International, to talk about the need for a Revolutionary Communist Party here in Canada. And this week, we're going to be starting up just where we left off and talking about the need for a Revolutionary Communist Press. One of the burning questions that faces our movement right now is the question of how do we unite all of these communists spread out across the entire country? And to help us answer this question, to help us answer the question of how to build the revolutionary newspaper, we're joined by Julien Arsenault, an editor of Communist Revolution and of Révolution Communiste. Julien, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Connor.
So I wanted to start the discussion this week talking about why did we launch Communist Revolution earlier this year?
Yes, that's a great question. Communist Revolution is a new paper for a new epoch. We live, as was explained very well in the last episode of the podcast, we live in a period of crisis. And we've been living for a long time, actually. It goes back all the way to the 2008 crisis and even before that. But there's really been events after events after events having an impact on the youth, on the working class, and people are increasingly sick of the system. And a very significant layer is looking for answers, looking for revolution, and looking for communism, turning towards communist ideas. So this paper, Communist Revolution, aims to be the paper of these people. And we need these people, these atomized communists, revolutionaries, these people getting radicalized over Gaza, over the cost of living crisis, the housing. It could be almost any question, but it's pointing in the same direction that this system we live in is not fit to live in. So we want to provide an alternative and also a voice to these people. And this is why we launched this new paper. We want to become their voice. And basically our paper aims to tell these people, you are not alone. There are hundreds, thousands that think exactly like you, and here is the voice of these people. That's what the paper ought to become, And we want to offer, you know, a platform for these people, but also explanation to the crisis, the problems of capitalism, and more importantly, solutions, communist solutions, a communist program to the workers and youth in struggle against capitalism today. So this is why we launched this new paper. It was an urgent task, we thought, to launch this paper, to give this voice to the communist youth. So this is why we went ahead with this project.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of newspapers out there that express a lot of very different opinions, very different groups in society. What exactly sets a communist revolution apart from the rest as a revolutionary and as a communist newspaper?
Well, yeah, there is this myth, actually, that newspapers and journalists are somewhat neutral. You know, they're just passively, covering stuff and reporting and making articles that just report neutrally what's going on in society. And I think, actually, the more you look at the bourgeois media, especially around this issue of Palestine, mm-hmm. I think you see to what extent this is not true at all, actually. The overwhelming majority of the big capitalist media is completely biased against the Palestinian people. It's very, very obvious. I'm sure maybe your listeners have good examples themselves. Maybe yourself, Connor, have seen some. It's almost every day, you know. You see the very clear bias. It's like the Israeli regime never kills people. You know, it's just people have been killed and we don't know by who. You know, there's tons of examples. But the bourgeois media ultimately reflects the interests of a certain class. I was seeing an article this morning about anti-scab legislation in Manitoba that I believe the NDP government is attempting to pass. And there was an opinion piece in the National Post which said, you know, this is good for a privileged layer of workers, but workers that are poor will suffer from this anti-scab legislation. This is crazy. This is a voice of the ruling class. And our paper seeks to be the voice of the downtrodden, of the workers, the oppressed, of this country. But I think it's not enough to just leave it at that, because there are other publications that are denouncing the system. Like the overwhelming majority of the media, they reflect the prejudices, the opinions, and the needs of the ruling class.
But there are exceptions.
There are some exceptions, you know, some more left-wing media or you know, even the mainstream media sometimes will have a piece unveiling some sort of scandal by the ruling class. That's not entirely surprising. And then some left-wing media will take more openly the side of the working class and the oppressed. But then it's just opinions, it's just ideas on a website, if they even have a physical paper. Most of them don't. But it's a disembodied voice, if you like. One of the big differences of communist revolution is it is very clearly the paper of an organization, of a fighting organization. So it's not just a paper. Behind the paper, there's hundreds of dedicated communists working day in, day out to build cells of the party and selling the paper, using it as a tool to recruit communists. So it is not just opinion pieces on what we think is going on within the working class and society. It's not just people venting about capitalism. We also want to offer solutions, and we want our paper to play an active role in the struggle, to give slogans, to put demands forward, and ultimately around the paper to build a real living physical organization. So we are not just a paper. It is the paper of an organization, of a party, of the Revolutionary Communist Party. So I think that's one thing that really sets us apart. It's not just about, you know, changing the narrative or anything like that, or adding our voice to the voices that exist. It's about building a revolutionary party to overthrow capitalism in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to come back to the point that you made about like objectivity and this kind of supposed neutrality that a lot of the media tends to hold up, and that really, I mean, it's written into the code of ethics of every journal, of every journalist. They teach it to you in university. There is this belief, this stigma that you cannot take a side while remaining objective about what it is you're discussing. But actually, I think that this is totally false. This is a backward way of actually looking at commentary, at politics and journalism in general. Because, I mean, if you look at it, every organization that publishes always has an interest. It always has some horse in the race, even if that horse is just maintaining profit margins, like say the National Post or Sun Media, all of these different companies have.
Yeah, and I think Leon Trotsky, the Russian Marxist, put it well. I think he said something along the lines of, he said the yellow press, which is basically the tabloid press of today, the yellow press lies as a matter of course. But he said the more respectable bourgeois press, they say the truth only when it's not important. But when it is important, they will lie and put out stuff that suits the interests of the ruling class. We only need to think of the weapons of mass destruction 20 years ago for the war in Iraq. Every newspaper put out that unverified lie to justify the war in Iraq. And you actually saw at the beginning of the Palestine struggle this fall, the Palestine Solidarity Movement, it was unveiled, I believe it's Bell Media, had sent a note to its journals to on some specific guidance on how to talk about the Israeli-Palestine situation. And they were saying there was horrible stuff in there. Stuff like, oh, you could only bring a Palestinian person on the stage if they're crying and if they're like weeping about the situation. So it was specifically like you had to portray the Palestinians as only whining and despairing at the situation. You could not put up a Palestinian fighter, let's say, or someone that wants to struggle for the oppressed or anything like that. So anyway, the point is, you know, the media will tell the truth on unimportant things, but on key questions, yeah, they will side with the ruling class. And on this question of objectivity, I think that's an interesting question as well, because yes, we're not neutral actually with communist revolution. We do take the side of the oppressed. We want the working class to win. We want the working class to take power and to build a new society. But because we want that, we want the working class to see the world as it is. So we don't want to lie. We don't want to exaggerate successes or victories. We don't want to hide defeats for the movement. We want to say the truth. The truth is revolutionary. So I think our paper, because we take the side of the workers and we want to arm the communists and the broader working class to win this struggle against capitalism, well, we will say the truth as it is, and portray the class struggle and the various currents in society as truthfully as possible. So because we're not biased in favor of the working class, I believe we can be more objective in our scrupulous study of society and our analysis and the slogans and demands we put forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When the paper is intimately connected with practice, with intervening right, in the struggle, you have to be correct or
that's
else
right.
The consequences are serious. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask, you know, is this a new strategy? Is this something that, you know, we've invented? Because I've heard lots of criticisms at picket lines, at demonstrations that, oh, well, you guys just want to sell a paper, as if this is something very bizarre and alien to the working class movement, the movement of oppressed groups. Where does this come from? Where does this tradition have its roots?
That's a good question. And actually, the tradition of political organizations, of parties, having their own press is actually a very long tradition. And in the labor movement, to begin with, that is a long-standing tradition, going all the way back to the very first workers' movements in the world. Like one great example that comes to mind is the Chartist movement in Britain, which people in Quebec and Canada are maybe not aware of what this movement was. It was the first national working-class political movement in history in Britain in the 1830s and 40s, fighting for the People's Charter, so basic democratic rights for the workers. And they were, you know, organizing. They organized general strikes, even an attempted insurrection. Very inspiring movement, and they had something to say to the working class and to the people, and the way to do that was a newspaper, and they produced newspaper against all odds. Actually, there were some laws in Britain that put a very heavy tax on newspapers, and the goal was actually to make workers not able to buy the press because it was too expensive. And a Chartist defied these laws, published papers openly in defiance against these laws to pay a heavy tax. So they sell their papers cheap so the workers could buy them. So this is a very inspiring example of like defying all odds, defying the laws if this allows us to put our word out there. Mm-hmm. And I think, this tradition continued all through the 19th and 20th century. Lenin in particular really, if you like, theorize and explain what is the role of a paper for for a communist organization, and we can get back to this. But the thing I'll say first is actually not that long ago, it wasn't particularly special or out of the ordinary for a revolutionary party to have a newspaper. Every party had a paper, and bourgeois parties had papers. Actually, the Liberal Party of Quebec had a newspaper in the 1950s, and now this tradition is being lost. And I think actually it's because these people don't have anything to say. Actually, a paper, a communist paper or paper period for an organization is because we have something to say. We want to get a message out there. And I think it's a shame that this tradition is getting lost. But we proudly uphold this tradition of producing a paper, bringing it into the streets, in the workplaces, in the schools, and using it to enter into a dialogue with other communists, with workers, with colleagues, etc., etc. And I guess another question is, oh, but there is the internet, there's the website, there's TikTok.
There are podcasts.
There's podcasts, indeed. And as you can witness as we speak, we do use these platforms. We will use the podcast. We will use social media as much as we can, because these tools do help to engage people. But I think there's two points here. On one hand, we don't control social media. They belong to rich people that can shut it down if they want to. If that was our main means of communication, we would be a very fragile organization indeed. Actually, it's been shown that, the so-called shadow ban, like Facebook and Twitter, I believe, or X, should I say, they shadow ban certain people, make their posts not that apparent. It was unveiled around the Palestine movement, Black Lives Matter, there was similar stuff going on. So social media and internet have certain limitations because they belong to rich people that can silence the left if and when they need to. Whereas a paper produced by our own forces, it allows us to be much more independent and not relying on any outside force other than our own means. So I think that's one very important element. And I think the other one is it's actually this newspaper, this physical newspaper, is a great adjunct and an absolutely vital tool to conduct real-life political work on picket lines, in demos. It would be very bizarre to approach people and say, join the RCP, here's this QR code that you can go check our website. No, we have this paper, this physical paper, which is a tool to engage with fellow workers and youth. So yeah, it's not a new thing, and I don't think it's a bizarre thing. It's an absolutely necessary tool to build a revolutionary communist party today.
I was having a conversation recently with someone that worked in broadcasting. She wasn't a communist or anything, but we were talking about politics. She mentioned something really interesting, a historical fact that, you know, I never heard of before. I don't think there's much written on the topic. And I said, you should probably, you know, report on this. And she said that she wanted to do a feature on it, but she works for a major broadcasting company, so she can't really do it through work. She'd have to do it through freelancing, and that would take a lot of time. And so I told her, I said, I have a paper, you know, you're welcome to write for it. There'll be people to help you out with it. And she said, what do you mean you have a paper? I just pulled it out of my bag. I thought it'd be easier for her to just see it. And she was really baffled. She's like, what? Did you do all of this yourself? And I said, no, I didn't. You'll see the credits to the authors and the contributors on each section. And she says, okay, but like, what do you mean? This is your paper and I can write for it. Like, how? What does that even mean? And I said, it's my paper because it reflects my life. You know, it's about the reality of the working class, what happens to us, our perspective, you know, and it's written by working class people. And I help pay for those who work on it full time. So based on the funding, I also know that for a fact, it reflects my life. And I could also write for it myself whenever I wish to. You know, I said it's the working class's paper, and that's why it's my paper, and it can be yours too. And that was enough for her to get a subscription, you know?
Well, one thing that you said that I wanted to come back to is actually this role of Lenin, because papers in the workers' movement and in the Marxist movement in particular, have a long history. What was it about Lenin's contribution to this tradition that was unique? Why is it that we hold Lenin up as an example that can be followed today?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in general, Lenin is perhaps the Marxist that has theorized with the most depth the need for a revolutionary party to have a successful socialist revolution. I mean, he built the successful party, the Bolshevik Party, and showed the way forward. And I think as part of that, he went really meticulously into every aspect of what such an organization, such a party needs to win. And that, I believe it was 17 years before the 1917 revolution, where he wrote some of his key texts on the need for a revolutionary newspaper to guide this work. And the context of the time was that Marxism was flourishing in Russia. Everyone was a Marxist, or everyone was interested. It's somewhat similar to today. There's more and more interest in communism.
I mean, lots of communists.
Yeah, that's right. And at the time, yeah, there was a big interest in Marxism. Marxist circles were popping up everywhere. Leaflets were produced. But the work of the Marxists was very scattered. And they were trying to unite these circles, unite these groups into one single party, was called at the time the Russian Social Democratic Labor Party, which was a bunch of words to mean a Marxist party. But part of this was how can we unite the work of the various moving parts here? And Lenin really insisted the first thing we need to do, and actually there was an article written by him, which I recommend to all our listeners. It's called Where to Begin. The title is pretty self-explanatory. And it does explain you need to begin by an all-Russian revolutionary newspaper, which Lenin said will play two roles, basically. He said it would play, obviously, an educational role, give the ideas, the perspectives, the slogans, if you like. So educate the readers, educate the working class, educate the communists selling the paper. So it had an educational value. And I think that's really important. And that's something we've been trying to do with Communist Revolution, the last few issues. Every issue needs to have theory, some articles to really raise the sights of the readers, some analysis and stuff like that. Like the latest issue has a lot of content on Gaza. And it contains the manifesto of the RCP, which I hope all our listeners are going to read. It's a really good document. So it plays an educational role. But then Lenin also coined this term. He said the paper is also a collective organizer. And what he meant by that is that by producing the paper, inevitably all the tasks of circulating the paper, writing for it, editing it, smuggling it into Russia, distributing it around this paper would inevitably build itself an organization to circulate it and to build new communist cells, communist groups in factories and workplaces with the aid of this paper. And I think actually this concept is not as abstract as it may seem, because I can think of the role of the paper prior to Communist Revolution. We had the Fight Back and La Riposte Socialiste, and they played their role. It was a different paper. This is a new paper. But this question of collective organizer is the paper is the product of the work of the entire party, of the entire organization. And then in return, it helps local work. Like I can remember the days when we had a single comrade west of Ontario. We had a single comrade in Edmonton. How could he have started the work if he had to build from scratch, write his own leaflets, write his own paper? He had in his hands the paper that was the product of the work of all the members of the organization, and that he could use to build in Edmonton. And now we have a flourishing section in Edmonton. And the same thing was repeated in a bunch of places in the country. So the paper helped us organize and build new cells, build new groups all across the country. And then in return, the comrades on the ground strengthened the paper by sending analyses of what's happening in their province, in their city, the struggles they witnessed, they participated in. So this I can really see, this is what we mean. The paper became the collective organizer of the party. But I think it means also more than that. And what Lenin wanted the paper to be, he was basically saying, you need to flood us with reports and letters from the factories in Russia, from the countryside, from anything. Tell us anything that can help us understand the life of the working class, understand the issues, what people are thinking of, the development of class consciousness. So in that sense, the editorial board would have tons of material and be able to put in the paper the relevant stuff that all the comrades can learn from. So it was also a collective organizer in the sense that the comrades on the ground would see it as theirs and see that they can contribute to it and see their letters printed and letters from all across the country printed. And it's also in this sense that we want a communist revolution to become this, a voice that anyone can contribute to and hear. They can hear themselves in this paper. They can see the paper reflects their lives, their struggles, the consciousness of the working class, the consciousness of people around them. But yeah, I would definitely recommend if anyone listening wants to learn more about the, if you like, the reasoning of why we have this paper and why it's so important, there's definitely no better place to start than the writings of Lenin on this question.
Yeah, one thing that we've been criticized for in the past and that I've heard again and again and again is that, you know, we're, especially as Marxists, we tend to lean on historical examples to guide our action today. And the question can be raised, how much can we learn from, you know, Russia in 1917 or Russia before 1917 when Lenin is writing these texts in the early 1900s? How much can this really apply to the Canadian experience? But I think actually, if you look at the problems that they were facing and what Iskra, the spark, the paper that Lenin helped to found, what problems it helped them to overcome, they're the exact same ones that we're faced with today. You have a wave of radicalization, you know, communists in all corners of the country that are more or less isolated from each other, that have, you know, confused ideas about where do we go from here, what do we need to do to actually end the system or to fight against capitalism without a clear perspective of what's the way forward. At the same time, in the early 1900s, you had all of these isolated groups spread across Russia that, for one reason or another, were cut off from each other, had different ideas of how to proceed. And the paper was a way to bring ideological unity and clarity among all of these different revolutionaries and to bring them into one single organized fighting force.
That's right. And it was actually, you know, there was all this local work, very disjointed. And it was this question that Lenin asked where to begin. And he started, yes, it begins at the top by building an all-Russian newspaper. And in that way, we can strengthen the local work. And actually, I see something very similar with what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah, the paper is an educator, it's an organizer. But it actually, there's two things I want to say. On the question of uniting the local work and giving the tools to the communists on the ground, like the previous issue of the paper, we put this slogan on the back: "Down with genocide, Justin," which I think is self-explanatory. Justin Trudeau has been supporting Israel for the past 6 months. He plays the nice guy with his big smile, and we're not like the U.S. and it's, you know, always trying to seem different, play all sides, cry on the plight of the Palestinians, but they've been aiding the government, they've been supporting it through and through. So we're trying to popularize the slogan, "Bring down genocide, Justin," which is actually really within reach. This is a weak liberal government propped up by the NDP of all people, and the union bureaucracy for that matter. And this government could be brought down if the NDP really cared about the Palestinian people. They could bring down the government on the question of Palestine, send a clear message that would resonate not just in Canada, but internationally, that a government fell because of their support for genocide. So all this to say, we put this slogan out there, and this then gave the tool to the RCP cells on the ground to organize demonstrations and rallies and speeches in public spaces on this question of bring down genocide, Justin. So it gave the tools, it gave the arguments to help our members and supporters argue this case in their city. So that's also the role of the paper. But then also the paper is not the paper of the editorial board. We really want it to become a voice of the communists, of our supporters, of our members, of the people out that are not yet official members of the party, that these people have a voice in the paper. And they can also talk to the other communists. In issue number 4 of the paper, which is the April issue, we decided actually to go to print a letter that we received from one of our supporters. We put it on page 2 at the very beginning of the paper, because it really expresses actually what this paper is. And we titled it, "This is your paper." And the letter basically explains, I won't read the whole thing, but the person that wrote it explains that they had a colleague that talked about how they work in broadcasting and mentioned in a historical fact that they were interested in, but that their boss dictates what she can work on. And then our supporter said, "Oh, well, I have a paper and you can write for it." And the person was like, "What do you mean you have a paper? What does that even mean?" And then they explained, you know, this is a paper produced by the organization I'm part of, and you can write for it. And this person was completely baffled by it. So yeah, I mean, what we're doing is somewhat unique. It's not a unique tradition. It has existed. But I think this is quite a unique paper that we want the workers, the working class, to see it as theirs, that they can contribute to it, that they hear their own voice in it. And yeah, this is what we're trying to accomplish, and there's nothing like it out there. Mm-hmm. I think you need a bit of everything in the paper. We need obviously analysis and theory, and that's really important. Like a communist newspaper is not just telling workers or young people or communists what they already know. It's not about just venting about capitalism, talking about problems everyone knows exists. It's also offering solutions and explanations. But oftentimes, I would say some contributions, some anecdotes, speak louder than a lengthy theoretical analysis could. Actually, in the previous issue of the paper, which was the March issue, we made a lot of space for articles about March 8, International Working Women's Day. For obvious reasons, our comrades went to demonstrations, organized some themselves, bringing the communist message on March 8, linking the struggle to emancipate women with the struggle to overthrow the sex system. And yeah, we had an article about the fight against sexism. We had a great article written by Lenin over 100 years ago about Women's Day. And we had this little anecdote by someone who wrote to us telling us that her boss had told the employees, which were a majority or exclusively women, to not get pregnant. Because it would cost him too much and it would put him in trouble. And in my opinion, this little snippet given by one of our supporters arguably speaks more and help us more illustrate the sexism of the capitalist system than a 2,000-word article on sexism. So what I'm saying here is we need everything. And actually, all of these contributions by comrades really help to paint a picture of the system and help us draw certain conclusions. And basically, it's a confirmation of what we're saying, but sometimes a much more powerful one than, let's say, a lengthy analysis. So what I'm trying to say is this paper needs to have everything. It needs to have this analysis, this theory, but also the living movement and the voice of working class people and youth and communists that transpires through it.
Some comrades and I had set up a literature table outside of a busy subway station in the East End of Toronto. We were waving a Palestinian flag and chanting slogans to bring down Genocide Justin, and a young worker stopped to talk to us, and he quickly disclosed that he stopped because he hated Trudeau and he supported the freedom of Palestine, but he added that that's why he was voting conservative. He quickly said that, "I'm more of a communist than a conservative, but I didn't know that there was an alternative until now." And I think this one anecdote speaks to the experience of thousands. They hate the system and its representatives, but they feel like they have to pick the lesser evil. But given a genuine revolutionary alternative, they wouldn't think twice before joining the communists. I think we have millions and millions of people around the world that are in a similar position, and now the revolutionary communists are here.
And how can this paper be a tool for building the party? Because like you said earlier, we're not just commenting on suffering or on exploitation of workers in Canada and around the world. The ultimate goal of the organization, the party, and of the party press is to put these things into the dustbin of history. How can we use the paper as an effective tool to building the party?
That's a great question. And I think the article selected for the paper are all there by design, and they're there to serve a certain purpose. Like the issue we have right now, issue number 4, April, the main article the in the education section of the paper is the Manifesto of the Revolutionary Communist Party. And I think this is deliberate. We're going to actually found officially the party in just under 4 weeks. We're already excited about this. And this is the main document that we will discuss, amend, and vote on to become the official manifesto of the party. So we decided to put the draft in the paper with the goal of all our cells, our members, and our sympathizers reading it, critically thinking about it, and also using it to recruit other communists, to find other people like you. So the manifesto isn't there to serve as this tool to enter into a dialogue with other communists and other working class people. And I think in general, a good place to start, if you're already in a cell of the RCP, or if you're a new person that wants to build a cell and wants to get started, the paper is a good place to start, to have a first discussion, let's say with your colleagues or with your fellow communists in your neighborhood, in your school. Organize a discussion, sell some papers to every one of them, read it from cover to cover, and have a discussion on the content. What did you think about it? What did you learn? Is there any questions? And that way everyone can strengthen their theoretical, their political understanding, maybe understand why certain slogans are put forward, certain ideas, and then use it to go into the real movement. This issue is also about, the cover is about how all parties are complicit in the genocide. And we see on the cover Justin Trudeau, Jagmeet Singh. Basically, Jagmeet has been supporting a government supporting genocide. And he's complicit. And we tie this intimately for the need for a new party, for the Revolutionary Communist Party. So all of this can be used to make this argument on the need for an RCP with our colleagues, our friends, and fellow workers, and all the rest of it. So I think a new cell of the RCP that puts the paper front and center, that has a thorough going discussion on it, will be better equipped to then find other communists, other people like yourself. Actually, in my cell, this is something we've been doing more consistently for the past few months. Every time the new paper comes out, we have an hour-long discussion in the meeting on the content of the paper, where the members say what they think, ask their questions about certain articles. It helps raise our understanding of the arguments, why we think certain articles are there. And then it arms us to go into the streets and sell this paper and use it to find other communists. And I think this is a good habit that cells of the RCP should take. And if you're a new person, I think this is a very good place to start building a new cells. It can be done anywhere in the country. And the paper is made precisely for that.
Taking the paper out and defending the articles, defending the ideas in the movement is actually the best way to tell whether or not you understand the ideas.
That's right.
In practice. Actually, selling the paper is an education in and of itself. I think that's been the making of a lot of communists I know, defending the ideas at protests, at tablings, on picket lines, anywhere that they can intervene.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also I mentioned it earlier, but this section of the paper, Spectre of Communism, contains advice and reports from the cells of the party. So this part in particular should be critically looked at. And individual communists and new cells of the party should look at that and think, okay, well, is there something here I can learn? Is there something we need to implement as well? And also I think by seeing the character of the contributions that we put in the paper, we hope that also cells and communists out there can think, oh, what could I contribute as well? The paper gives examples of what can be sent and what could be useful for other comrades to see.
Maybe one last question that I can put to you is, you know, for a comrade or a communist who's listening and might be organized in a cell, might be on their own and is looking for a place to start with the paper, how would you suggest they use the paper to guide, you know, their work?
Yeah, so I think that's a very important question. And yeah, the first thing any individual communist listening should do, I believe the first thing to do is to become an official member of the RCP. Join your party, join the communists, and help build a communist party that can lead a revolution in our lifetime. But then, yes, it doesn't stop there. If you're in a city where a cell already exists, you can link up with the cell. But if you're not, there's nothing preventing you of starting your own cell. And to do that, as I just explained, the paper will play an invaluable role. So it's possible to buy, let's say, a communist cell starter pack on our website and get started with the paper. But I think a really important thing will be to study the paper, to read it carefully, critically, think of the arguments, think of why the articles are there, how can they be useful in the work, participating in the current movements, talking to colleagues, friends, and all the rest of it. So this paper should be studied. And actually, one thing I did want to mention is we want feedback. We do want to know what our listeners or readers think about our paper. So anything good or bad, is the paper answering your questions? Is it not? What you thought about certain articles? We want not only contributions, reports, anecdotes from anything happening in workplaces and neighborhoods and schools. We want actual feedback. Has it been useful? Is there some things that could be changed, some things that could be added? This is something we want. And then really studying the paper and reading it studiously will help any communist conduct their work. And I've already seen it anecdotally. I've heard of some members of the RCP have been using the paper very skillfully. I know of one member that when he takes the metro, he just uses the 15-minute ride here in Montreal to go talk to people and sell the paper and find new communists in that way. There was another one today that reported that they sold a paper at work. They said my working desk is basically a literature stall with the papers there. So, and this is the boldness we need. We need to use this paper to engage in conversations with colleagues, with our friends at school and all of that, with the goal of building cells of the RCP, of building this party that can overthrow capitalism. So one advice I would say is, yeah, study the paper, know it from cover to cover. You will know what arguments to use with friends, colleagues, etc. But actually, I would say that the most important thing, which I can't stress enough, I know I've said it already, but I'll say it again, is we want to hear you. We want you to send contributions, to tell us anecdotes, things you've heard, positive comments on the work of the RCP, comments on your uncle that's becoming a communist, any anecdote that can help us paint a picture of the developments among the working class and youth. Don't think twice. Please write to us. I don't think we've said it verbally. We can perhaps put it in the show notes, but the email address, contributions@marxist.ca. We want to hear you. We want anything that comes to mind that you think could be useful. Anything you think my comrades and other communists need to know this. Don't think twice and send it to us. And I think if every individual communist out there does that, we will develop communist revolution as the voice of the communist youth of Quebec and Canada. And actually, Lenin, when he published his paper Iskra, I believe the first all-Russian Marxist newspaper, if I'm not mistaken, Iskra means the spark. And the slogan of the paper was, out of the spark will come a flame. And I think this is what we're trying to do too. Communist revolution, we want it to become the spark for a communist revolution in this country in our lifetime. But for this, we need every individual comrade to really take this paper in their hands, make it theirs in a concrete way. Use it to recruit communists, but also contribute to it. Send letters, send reports, contributions of any sort. This is ultimately the greatest guarantee of the success of this paper. And I think on this basis, on the basis of this, the individual efforts of every communist out there, this is how this paper will make strides forward, will become a biweekly eventually, and even more in the future. We have a big task ahead of us, but we need every communist listening to participate in this. And obviously, what better way to do this than to take a subscription to the paper, to make sure it comes through the mail every month. And these funds go a long way in helping us build this party.
Xi, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks again for listening, comrades. We are fighting a truly formidable enemy. The bourgeoisie today is the strongest ruling class that has ever existed in the history of class society. They control all the main levers of the economy. They control the media, the state,
And it's through all of these mechanisms that the ruling class exerts an immense pressure on the proletariat. But this is only one side of the equation, because the working class, under the pressures of capitalism, inevitably arrives at the conclusion that the system has to change. And we derive our strength from our size as the majority in society and in our unity. We are not outnumbered, we are outorganized. In the task of organizing the proletariat into a truly fighting force, of providing movements with the ideas that they need to win, cannot simply be left to volunteers. What we need is a professional revolutionary party with professional revolutionaries and offices to oversee the publication of our press, of our website, our publishing house, and to help guide the work in all of the different regions where communists are active. And all of this requires funds. Under capitalism, money is the sinews of class war. And to fund ourselves, we cannot base ourselves on the generosity of the ruling class, who will only invest in something in order to twist it and corrupt it for its own benefit. Instead, we have to rely on our members, our sympathizers, and on the working class. And so, if you agree with what you've heard, if you want to help us in the struggle against capitalism and class society, then please join us. Or if you can't join us, then at least donate to the cause. Right now, we're raising $250,000 to hire 3 new full-time revolutionaries and to build a national center in Toronto, the heart of Canadian capitalism, and to make a donation of at least $50,000 to the Revolutionary Communist International. The task before us is immense. But together, as communists and as workers, we can rise to that task, and we can win. I'll see you next time, comrades.